Let's read from Ecclesiastes. Solomon says in the 8th chapter, the 5th verse, "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended merit, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all of this, that the righteous and the wise and their words are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred, but all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There's one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a potion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garment be always white, and let thy head like no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw unto the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemeth great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quite more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much goods. Solomon is expressing himself here to say that in searching things out, that he finds the same thing happens to a good man just like it does a bad man. And he's telling us, if we can understand what he's saying, he is telling us that there is a satanic power, there is an evil force, and this evil force is no respect of person. Whoever he can find, he will molest, he will aggravate, he will suppress. And the Bible said he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So then he's after you. The only thing that can help us, not just being a good person, but praying to God and having faith, building our faith. The Bible said our faith in God, and this is a shield that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. And when this shield is put between us and Lucifer, the Bible said in resisting him, he fleeth from us. Draw nigh to God by tenderizing the heart, by doing the things that please God. And then resist the devil with your newfound strength, and he will flee from you. Otherwise, just saying I am a Christian and expecting everything to go well with you, you can be sure that you're going to have problems just like everybody else. There's going to be any difference with you than anybody else. A lot of times I say this to careless mothers. You take it for granted that God is going to watch over your children. Nothing's going to happen to your children because you are a Christian. But that doesn't mean a thing. Unless you watch your children, the Bible said a child left to himself will bring shame. Unless you watch your children, instruct your children, try to do what you can for your children, hold on to your children will be killed just like anybody else. Things will happen to your children just like anybody else. You may see a man living across the way and his child might get by with what appears to be murder and your child may get killed right off. See, so you've got to remember it doesn't make any difference. Pray and believe God and ask God to protect your children and talk to your children and talk to your loved ones. And don't take anything, as we use the terms, for granted that it's going to be all right just because you go to church, because it certainly isn't. So what happens to one happens to all. Solomon said it's an evil thing, but it happeneth. And he said to every purpose, there is a time in judgment. There is a time in judgment. He said, if a man keep the commandments of God, he shall feel no evil thing. If he really gets down to the business to believe God, God will give him faith to take care of his problems. He said, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. You know, this is something that we really need to consider, that no man hath power over the Spirit. That is where the great difference came in between man and Jesus. Jesus had power over the Spirit to retain it at death. No man hath power over the Spirit. When his time comes to die, he's going to die. He doesn't have any power to keep from dying. The physicians cannot keep him from dying. A lot of times we say, well, the physician saved his life. It is true that the physician saved his life because the ordination of God before the foundation of the world was that this particular individual go to a physician. God gave him enough knowledge at that time to do something for the individual. And because of God's ordination, the individual survived. Whereas another would go with less problems. I've known them to go with far less problems as to one that survived and still they died. Seemed like a minor thing and they died. See, so it depends on the ordination of God. No man hath power over the spirit to retain it at death. But Jesus spoke like this, no man taketh my life. For he said, a commandment I have from my heavenly Father, that I can lay my life down and I can take my life up. Now, that's the way it is with Christians. No man is going to take your life. You have the power to lay your life down. You have the power to take your life up. This commandment have you received of the heavenly Father. Someone would say, how can this be, Brother Pike? It is because we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And as he is, so are we in him. Whatever he is, that's what we are. Whatever he can do, that's what we can do. We can lay down our life, but there'll come a time when we'll take our life up again, according to his commandment. Jesus laid down his life, and he took his life up again according to the commandment of God. So then, according to the commandment of God, we have this liberty and we have this privilege because we are not men. We are gods. We are sons of God. I said the other night, we are then forever. We are delivered from sin. The Bible said that the whole world is in wickedness. The writer said that all of the world is wicked. You know, when we think about it as Christians, we think, well, there's some fine people out there, and then there's some bad people. But the Bible doesn't term it like that. People who are not born again, the Bible said that all of the world lieth in wickedness, and we are light, and we are righteousness, and we are children of God. Why does God say that? Because all of the world hath to give an account to God for their own way of life, not having the righteousness of Jesus Christ by which you and I are justified. Therefore, they do not have the faith of God as to a justification. So then, they are in wickedness. Though they be religious, though they belong to churches, yet the Bible teaches that they still are in wickedness. We're not in wickedness. We are clean. We are holy. We are godly people because God has cleansed us by his own blood and by his own righteousness. Therefore, there's not anything that's ever charged against us. Someone would say, well, then, Brother Pike, if that be true, then if we think wrong, God isn't going to charge it against us. That's where you're mistaken. If you think wrong, it proves that you're not of this righteous people. Because if you're of this righteous people, you wouldn't think wrong. And somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if we sin now, then God isn't going to charge it against us. That's where you're wrong, because if you sin, then you don't know God. You've never seen God, because the Bible said he that is born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin, because the seed of God remaineth in him, and he keepeth himself that the evil one toucheth him not. So then, it does mean that if we are holy, godly, born-again people, that are doing our very best to live holy, to think holy, to be holy, and as the Bible said, to overcome every temptation, then are we blessed of God and sealed by the Spirit and covered with the blood, and no evil thing can touch us. Though thoughts may assail, God will not let them come into our heart and mind. Though evil things may be all around us, but God will not let us be partakers of them. And the Bible said, no evil thing shall hurt you if you keep the King's commandments. So then, when we stumble and when we stagger, there is not one thing behind it as to desire, nor as to effort, and God does not count it as sin against us. But the Bible says, we have trespassed against him. And we are continually trespassing against our brother. We're continually trespassing against God. Therefore, we have to do the more diligence toward God to try to perfect our ways, to go on to be perfect before God, to come into perfection and have the ministry perfect our faith in God, that we may have faith to resist the devil. So then we find that there is a trespass that we can commit, and this trespass is against God. So we pray. They said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so then daily I trespass against God, and I say, Heavenly Father, forgive me my trespasses. And daily I ask God to forgive me my trespasses. And I hear God speak to me. And God says, forgive those that trespass against you. And I will forgive your trespasses. But if you forgive not men their trespasses from your heart, then I will not forgive you your trespasses. So we know then that it is a work of the heart. And if the heart isn't tender, if the heart isn't sweet, if the heart isn't void of all condemnation, then our heart cannot believe. Therefore, we cannot be purified in heart, in that our trespasses cannot be forgiven. So then it is a work of the heart. As the man thinketh in his heart, so it is charged to him. But if I believe within my heart, if I think holy, and if I'm clean in my heart, then the Bible said, where these things are, as to the atonement of God, there is no more conscience of sin. I'm dead to sin by the body of the Lord Jesus. I'm dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus. And the world and sin is dead to me and is gone. The body of sin is dead. The body is dead because of sin. And so then I am free from the body of sin and death. I'm free from the law of sin and death that had power over the body. At death, my spirit went back to God who gave it. And now my spirit is hid with Christ in God, whom Satan cannot get to. Satan can never get to my spirit. He can never touch my spirit. Though he might make me stumble and stagger in throwing something in front of me or causing my brother to be a stumbling block to me, yet in my heart is sealed because I have no conscience of sin. God has took away the consciousness of sin. I am not conscious of sin in my inner man. It's not even there in my inner man. My inner man is never at any time conscious of sin. So it creates a great warfare, and we find there's a great warfare between the body and the spirit because of this. Satan, warring in my body, in my natural mind, and in my intellect, he is warring against the mind of Christ on the inside, and the mind of Christ on the inside in return is warring against him. And they're warring and they're fighting all the time. They're fighting. It is a continual warfare. It never stops. Day and night, it never stops. So then, that means that though we have peace in God, he said, in the world, that is in the flesh, in the body, ye shall have trouble. He said, great is the oppression of men, great is the heaviness of man, Solomon said, because of this warfare. When I'm born again, having God's Spirit on the inside, then there is a warfare. And Paul said, though it's in my heart to do good and to think good and to be good, yet I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. He said, for within my members, within my flesh, there is no good thing. And he said, I see this law warring against my mind. That is, I see another law or another mind, a mind of corruption, a mind of infiltration. It's within my members. And my members being in the world, Satan being the prince of the world, he hath power over these members to the extent that he warreth against these members to cause the lust that is in the flesh to war against my inner mind, which is Christ on the inside. But in that my justification is by God's work, and I'm sealed by God's Spirit, and my justification by faith of Jesus Christ, and my faith in Jesus Christ, then that means that I am free from the law of sin and death. Because though it warreth against my body, God will not charge any of the errors of my body against my soul. He will not charge anything that my body does as the stumblings and staggerings against my soul, because he hath rent the veil in twain. And he hath taken my spirit away into heaven, and he hath taken the body and laid it away in a watery grave, thus becoming sin, that I might consider that that is death, and that that is the death of my body of sin, that when they put him into the grave, that was the end of me. And when he went down into hell, his soul went down into the hell, that was the end of my soul's problems as to sin. And then when he resurrected, that brought me into the newness of life. That is not me living, but Christ that's living within me. And the life I now live is accepted of God as the life of the Son of God. That there's not spot, nor wrinkle, nor blemish against the church are the members of the body of the living God. So then you are members of the body of the Lord Jesus by Him becoming your sin and death. Now you are His body in life, members of His body in the sight of God, and partakers of all of the benefits that God made in Christ Jesus, are wrought in Christ Jesus, in that in the fullness of time, God, sending forth His Son in the likeness of sin, condemned sin in the flesh, done away with sin in the flesh, and in that death and sin came by one man, Adam's soul, life and righteousness has come by one man, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're free from the law of sin and death. And today we are alive and we don't have to worry anymore. Therefore, we're not in the flesh because our spirit has gone back to God who gave it, and the body is dead because of sin and it's buried. And now my spiritual inner man dwells in heaven and I'm rejoicing forevermore because of what He did. So then God has sent the ministry to perfect your faith. That is to reveal your benefits to you, that you might believe in what the ministry says, and that it's not them speaking, but God speaking to you, and that the Bible said all of them shall be taught of God. And so then God is speaking to them, and as God speaks to them, He is revealing His attributes, His righteousness, His goodness, all of the things that God wants you to know or God wants you to have. And in this, you have all of those beautiful things that God has given you in Christ to where the devil can never take them away from you. So as these are given to you, this is called perfection. Perfecting your believing in what He hath done for you, or revealing to you in detail the benefits of what He hath willed to you by His death, in that you are His children, even the household of faith. So we find that what happeneth to the body as to one happeneth to all, in that all is of the body, and all is of sin, and all have sinned, and all have come short of the glory of God. So then it's no more the outer man, in that he's dead, but it is the inner man, and we're waiting to wit the redemption of our body, or that is to resurrect our body from that watery grave. And the Bible said at the Thessalonian coming, at the sounding of the last trumpet, when the mysteries of God are finished, then we will with the redemption of the body, and our body will again come forth from the watery grave, to the extent that we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality. And that before this change, immediately out of the grave, those that have been there for so long will come out. Even as they did under the law, they will come out. And with us, they will be perfected as to the change of the body. It's a beautiful thing to know that salvation has been wrought by God. There is a plan of salvation as to the new birth. But a lot of times we misconstrue things because we get loose. And when we're taught the truth, then we allow for the body. And Paul said, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Though grace was given, and wherever sin was, so much more did grace abound, that it might override sin. But then shall I continue in sin and the practice of sin, saying that I'm going to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, or take advantage as to my own gullible desire, in that I say I have grace? God forbid. If you do that, Paul said that is a positive proof you don't have the nature of Jesus, because the nature of Jesus couldn't possibly do that. The mere fact that you hunger and thirst and have such a drive and determination to be holy and godly on the inside, that is the proof that you have the nature of the Lord Jesus. And then that means that not any of your trespasses are counted against you. But inasmuch as you don't make the effort, inasmuch as you are nonchalant in life, inasmuch as you do allow, inasmuch as you don't have any real determination or incentive toward God as to be holy and godly, then that means that you've never been born again. You don't have the nature of Jesus on the inside. The Bible said even concerning Lot that that just man was vexed by their evil conversation from day to day. Lot was a righteous man. Well, the Bible said that it vexed his righteous soul. It vexed him from day to day. And if you are a holy person, if you are a godly person, it will vex you from day to day. I'm vexed all day long. I'm vexed because I pick up people's thoughts. I'm continually picking up people's thoughts. I pick up my family's thoughts. I pick up my neighbor's thoughts. I pick up my friend's thoughts. I'm continually picking their thoughts up. And I'm vexed all the day long out here in the midst of all of this evil thing. But down on the inside, I am at peace. For in God, I have peace. In the flesh, in the world, I have trouble. But in the heart of God, inside of me, in the kingdom of God, within the Spirit of God, that's within my spirit and my spirit being in His spirit, then it's as the wine that maketh the heart merry. I will come in and I will sup with you. I will drink this wine anew with you. I stand at the door and knock, and whoever will open the door, I will come in and bring him the new wine that will make his heart merry, and his cup will run over. His presses shall burst out with the new wine. That is to say, you've got one spirit. You've had the old wine. You've had the spirit. And now you can have the Spirit of God, which is the new wine, the Spirit of Christ. You can have the blood of Christ. Whereas you've had the old blood as to the old wine, and the stimulation as to the world of endeavors, of doing things, as to the gullible desire of your own way of life, now you can have the blood of Jesus, the pure holy stimulation as unto godliness, and the Holy Ghost stimulating that blood as under the inspiration of life, not temporal life, but as under eternal life. So you can have the new wine if you overcome. And as I said today, the Bible said, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna, the revelation of the Son of God. Many things are taking place. A lot of great things are happening right here. We see things from time to time as pertaining to the tubes that were setting up down here and the things I mentioned this morning, because it is a great day. It is a great thing. I like the coat that I wore this morning. I went to put on my coat, and that coat was within a veil. That is, it had been hung up within a cover. And something said, put that coat on. And I thought, no, that coat's a little too colorful. I don't care to wear things so colorful to church. I don't care to wear things so colorful anyway, if it's loud and boisterous. So I said no, and something said, yes, put it on. So there's a time for everything. So I put the coat on, and then immediately God began to speak to me and tell me what the coat had to do with and why it was for today. You notice on the sleeve of it, it had a crayon. It was like a Canadian crayon. And that coat come from Brother Armstrong, which had to do with that yesterday, and that my son-in-law Dale was here, that I'd loaned him the gloves that Brother Armstrong had given me, and I had had on the boots, the moon boots that Brother Randall had given me, and I had on my coat, my shirt, the different things, the shirt that David had given me, and most all of those things, including the boots, I had burned. I had been sprinkled with fire while Ricky was up here. You know, Ricky, the name Richard means king of all. And here, up here, over us, he was welding and a sprinkling of fire, you know, passing through the fire, trying to zip a fire. And it burned my arm, and it burned my head, and it burned my shirt, and it burned my pants, and it burned my gloves, and it burned my coat. And the moon boots that I had on, I was just going to hold them kind of close to get my feet warm a little bit. And lo and behold, it burned them. And I was standing out there with all of this right there about this time. And here come Brother Michael. Brother Michael, he comes along out there. The fire wagon, he was out there. You know, we'd painted that wagon white in getting rid of the old red dragon, as we say, casting out the red dragon. And Jesus spoke of walking with me in white. We had painted that thing white. And there was Michael out there, kind of relating to Revelation 12. And here come Rodney over here with this veil, this thing you slip on your head that looked just like what they have on when they walk on the moon. And he handed it to me. It was a silver thing, as to say the priesthood. And I slipped the thing over. And when I did, as I did, it was registering what was happening. Here we was working with the iron, and this iron that we had just gotten come from Powers. Whereas the man-child being caught up as concerning the moon, and that ruling with the rod of iron, as to now has come power, and the thing was speaking very loud and clear. And there it was with that on my head and the moon boots on, and the Armstrong gloves and the different things, all these things that was involved. Brother Clyde had just given me an eagle, a gold and silver eagle on a buckle. I never wore it. I just held it up to me like that, and I gave it to my son-in-law, and there was my son-in-law with that flag on his arm, just like it was when they landed on the moon. And here was the pattern that he was following. It took us a long time to go into those things concerning him and Melody Sue. But anyway, here are these things was happening, and here was the missile set there, just like, I mean, they look just like missiles, as we say, and the fire around the base of them, and then we say rod of iron, here come Rodney with that thing. And everything was just right down the line, just like that, just continually down the line. So many multiplied things. I watched our brother stay till 3 o'clock in the morning, Brother Tony, having to do with Louisiana and the redemption of the body and the ship being sold at this time and going to Paul out into the area of Dallas as to the tree, what it had to do with Brother Branham out there, the voice of healing, round to Fort Worth. You've heard that song, Fort Worth Jail. But anyway, all of these carefully fell into place, some that we'd already seen and some others as they were freshly given from heaven as day by day we walk in the light, seeing these wonderful things. And there it was, walking along in these things and seeing all of the things that was taking place. Many, many things that I'm not mentioning to you tonight, God spoke to me about. And he's placed them in place. Every little thing was just falling right into place. Even Don's little daughter that came and stood on the rocks as they took a picture of her. I believe her name means victory. And we've just gone over to Brother Walden's place. That meant victory. Called Victory Tabernacle. But anyway, these things were taking place. And it was showing the catching up of the man-child. As a matter of fact, that's why that coat was on this morning. We had the coat Sunday, the morrow after the Sabbath, that is to the Jews, and yet Saturday being their Sabbath. Yesterday, everything was just said as to bring about the resurrection as of to the morning. And Tony stayed out there till about 3 o'clock as to the cock crow, and we say as to that redemption thing. And then about 3 o'clock in the morning came Rick back to Richard, king of all. And here comes Rick early in the morning to take it and hold it over to daylight. Everything was just precise and perfect. And the many things that transpired while we were out there, one right after another, concerning different individuals and the different things that was taking place, was just perfect. And God spoke so loud and clear that I could hear every bit of it as he began to speak of this individual or that individual or what time it was or what was taking place as to the dates and what God was doing as to the translation of the church and the church coming into the mind of God or coming up into power. It's this year that we're computerizing as to the natural things, which has great significance. And it is at the same time that the spiritual sealing in of the man-child is at hand. At the same time, they're talking about peace. At the same time, the Jews as to Jacob is ready to be put through the fire. At the same time, they're about to launch a missile, or not a missile, or a rocket. Again, it's the first time, I think, since the other burned up. You remember we spoke of the other having a school teaching, whatever it was, as to, we brought it out on tape, having to do with the tree of knowledge. And how that God done away with it, and how that this one, now coming up, I spoke to someone the other day, has to do with a different thing altogether, and that they're about to try once again with their rocket as to the moon. So then everything is just precisely falling into place. Everything, wherever we go, whatever we do, we're just now on the verge of taking a trip around the world, which is going to be real costly, but I feel like we'll be able to stir some people and maybe start a little flame here and there around the world. And this thing has to do with as to the catching up, when they're caught up, and the circle as to circling the globe, or as to the way they go around the world to bring about the things that scientists are working for in the natural. Wherever you set your foot, I'll give it to you. If I set my foot all over the world, then I'm expecting all of it to belong to me. So we are believing God, and we're seeing things take place. So many things tonight. I wish that we had time to detail to you just of this little thing that we're doing out here. This one little thing of setting those pillars. building the Father's house at this time, I say again, calling that the Father's house, it has to do with everybody laying down their hammers and their hatchets. Sometimes they refer to certain men as being his hatchet men, you know, if you belong to certain groups. Laying down the hatchet and doing away with all of the war tools of fighting and bringing in the great millennium, turning the weapons into plowshares and bringing about the great millennium peace. Right now they're talking about peace, whereas this peace will come for the millennium, but it will not be to the wicked, for the Bible said there is no peace to the wicked. But at this time, since God's people are going to come together and the fighting and the feuding and all these things are going to be laid aside, it is at this time that the house of God, as to the many-membered body, will come together and the house of God shall be built. As it was even in Brother Branham's day, a lot of war, too much blood on the hand, a lot of war, see, and problems, all the time problems, but now we're coming into a peace age. Everybody wants to be on television. Everybody wants to be a money evangelist. Everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to show his face or his form or her face or form. Everybody is wanting something as to the gullible side of life, so they're compromising every way. They're compromising so that means that they can do all of these things in a compromise, and to do that they have to be at peace with one another. So the Lord is suffering all of this to bring about world peace, as to what they would call it, but to really bring about world peace as to the millennium, as to the members of the body coming together. And as I said, so many pillars in this building down here as to overcoming, eating of the hidden manna, becoming a pillar in the temple of God. So then, though it's just a natural endeavor, and though it's just a natural house, and this is a natural place, yet it has great spiritual significance. Though Noah built a natural ark, and it was a natural rainbow, yet it represented a spiritual rainbow as to a covenant of the characteristics of the attributes of God down through the church ages, and represented as to the little natural ark that was going to be made over here for a spiritual purpose, as to the ark of the rainbow or the ark of the covenant, in that the rainbow represents the covenant. I might say this again to you before we close here, I have to exhort you some. Looking at Calvary, I say again, the Old Testament says, and the capstone shall come. It says, and it shall come crying, grace, grace, grace. And so it was when Jesus came, it's been grace, grace, grace. And he came as the great capstone of the great city of New Jerusalem. He came, he capstoned it at Calvary as to the natural, being the capstone of all of the endeavors of Moses, everything that God had ever given Moses, no man had ever kept it. But when the capstone come, though all of the others was a stone as to an effort up to it, Jesus came and capstoned the thing with grace. And being the prism or the stone as to a little prism, the light of God, the glory of God, struck this little stone and broke through this little stone in refracted light as to the separation of the colors. And that light has all the colors of the rainbow in it. It refracted, it separated, and it brought about seven-dimensional things of division that's referred to as the church ages, to present the characteristics of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus. And from that time to this time, there has been as to the seven candlesticks, as to the messengers of the age, as to each one represented by a different color, all of them coming to one glorious light. And that is as to the candlesticks at the end of the age where Christ was standing in the midst of them. So then all of these things coming down through the ages, we see the rainbow beginning at Pentecost and rainbowing over as to the covenant, as to the covenant. Jesus, being the natural part, was the physical display of the ark. For in the fullness of time, the wrath of God came as it was in the fullness of time. In the days of Noah, the water which was the wrath of God came. The next time it was to be blood, water, blood, and spirit in the earth to represent the wrath of God and the changing of different worlds. A water world, and then a blood world, and then an angelic or spiritual world. And so then the second world came, and the end of it came. And Peter said, "Ye are the people upon whom the end of the world have come." That is to say, from the garden over to the days of Noah, and that was the end of the world. And the Bible said, and the end of the world came with the flood, wiping away the old world of water. And then from that time they started to sacrificing blood, in that the life is in the blood. And so they moved from the body, which scientists say is a composition of water, and they moved to the blood, which represents the soul. In there is the life. For the life is in the soul. The Bible said in Adam become a living soul. And if in Adam all die because of sin, the soul die. So then the next thing, the next move was the quickening spirit. So then the next Adam was made a quickening spirit. See, the soul realm ended. So Jesus come as a natural, as to the end of the blood world, and he capstoned the thing. He done away with the blood world, and there he was, the ark of God, and God said, "This is as the waters of Noah to me." So the end of the blood world came. And when the end of the blood world came, it meant all people that had to do with the physical side of life, as to human anatomy, or as to the chemical or the chemistry side of life, that was the end of it, was no more. Though they have all the 2,000 years to recognize it, God does that. It is a lap over as to whatever he does away with. Then there's a 2,000 year period as to recognition. And so then the 2,000 years as to recognition comes right on down to our day, and we're almost living in the end of this period. I brought it out the other night. You got it on tape here. The year 2000 coming in, working with men for 6 days, and on the seventh he rested. And so then moving on down, now they are coming to the end as to the recognition of the comprehension as to one way or another, to know their sins or to know godliness. And as to whatever they come to understand, whatever they come to know, then this will lock them in. Because man becomes locked in by his thoughts. And he is a creature of circumstantial environments as to his thoughts. I say again, Jesus walked through the wall because he was not locked into those thoughts that held him in the confines of lying vanities. So in the next mind, he moved into that. He moved into that great, wonderful thing. He capstoned the natural at Calvary, done away with it, and then started the spiritual era and brought in the church age. And since that time, men have been in heaven. And every elect that is born, that comes into this end of it, or into this period of time from Calvary on over to the manifold light, as to the sevenfold light, or that is bringing together the rainbow colors of the covenant, or bringing together the people as to make, as we say, Joseph's coat of many colors, the body of the Lord Jesus, bringing it on over. Bringing it on over, we come on over to the end of the world over here. And now the third turn of event has come, and I say to you as Peter did, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. In that it was God that spoke through Peter as to one world, as to God, as to another world, so it is God to the people today. Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. This time, only those that are spiritual shall survive. In the days of Noah, only the water species survived. Water destroyed everything, and only they that had a covenant with God is to be the species of the water, they survived. And today we have whales that weigh 100 tons because they have survived. And they say as of sharks, that sharks seem like they have an endless life. And now then, as to that which is the physical, coming on down, they that are in the blood realm, as to the offering of the blood, as ordained of that particular era of life, they will survive. Others will be destroyed. All will be destroyed. One of the things that appertains to that is that the 144,000 was given a blood covenant, and they were given an ordination of God that they might survive. Now, not that the reward is to them as a blood covenant, For the reward is to them as what Abraham promised them as a water covenant, as to the natural yielding forth of the millennium, in that it is a vegetation thing. There's three that bear witness in the earth, the water, the blood, and the spirit. These three great lifelines. One is a water life to the world of vegetation. One is a blood life to the beast world or human anatomy. The other is a spirit life to the world of angelic beings, as the cherubs, as the seraphim, as to Christians, of those that are angelic beings. Where the Bible teaches when we're born of God, we're born of the Spirit. The next man, Adam, brought in the era of the Spirit. We that are born to the Spirit, then we are Spirit. And we're in that third dimension Paul called the third heaven. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, it was made known to him that that was the rent veil and the opening up of the third heaven. And he saw this great, wonderful thing as the third heaven. So then we have entered into the third heaven, and we that are made for this will survive. All others will be destroyed. Though there's angelic beings, yet they will be destroyed because they're unclean. And many of them are fallen angels, and they will be destroyed. They're thoughts of evil, while we are thoughts of good. We are thoughts of Christ that survive forever. They're thoughts of evil that will perish in the gainsayings of Korah, as the Bible says. So then, to this point, there are people that, as in the water world, the species survive, so are they that are in the blood world. There are some that's made for the soul realm, and they will survive, and they'll go right on over into the millennium. And then they that are in the spiritual realm will, from this last part of the 2,000 years, survive, they that are ordained for that great world, and they will ride over the tribulation, and they will go into the heavenlies, and all of the others will go into the tribulation under the powers of Antichrist, that he might cast in the sickle, as it is said, of the man on the cloud, that he might reap the vintage, and the blood might run to the horse's bridle, to show as it was the flood of water and all taken away. It'll be a flood of blood and all taken away. And in the end, it'll be a flood of the Spirit and all taken away. That is to say, those that are not ordained for each one of those worlds. But I'm glad that we're ordained under the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Three bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Word, it doesn't refer to it as the Son, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That it is the Father, it is His Word, and it is His Spirit, and the heart of children of God who are born again. So we see a great thing taking place, and right here at the end of the world, we could say many, many things. So many things we could say to you tonight that we could go on all night, even in the present day truth, and making comparisons as to the world that's overflowing with the flood, and all of these other things that's taking place. Be for sure that what I'm telling you is the truth, and we're right down at the end, and you, this time, the rejection will be of the spiritual man. It will be of your thoughts, the secrets of your heart. It will be the end of the inner man, and he will be turned into hell, into the lake of fire. All that forget God shall be turned into hell. All right, I want you to stand with me. Just thought we'd say these few things tonight. Though you know these things, Peter said, I feel I should say these things to bring them back to your remembrance, that you might be aware of these things. So Solomon reminds us that to everything there is a time and there is a judgment, to everything. And then he sums it all up, saying, though you eat, though you drink, and though you are merry, remember, for all of these things God will bring you into judgment. So he says to you and I, the sum of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep His commandments. Let's sing a little chorus, can we? I love Him. I love Him.
that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in His book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in God's book, it is thine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.
Let's sing this little chorus.
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Need Thee now, precious Savior. For oh, how I need Thee.
Sing it with me now.
So don't turn Him away. So don't turn Him away. For He has come back to your heart once again. So let Him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need Him to plead your cause on that eternal listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. The altars are open. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many has come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want all we want is the love of Jesus for to me. So I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus, for to me he's everything. So we don't want your gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the wealth of heaven, for in it is everything. So I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus, for to me he's everything. I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. Little person in this world I may be, but I'm God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call, for I know I'm a child the King set free. For I'm God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. We claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when we call, for I know you are the children
God set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first. That can you sing with me again? We claim Jesus first of all. He's gonna answer when we call. For I know you are children God set free. We are God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. All right, let's sing this little chorus together, can we? They'll come from the east and the west. Can we sing that together? They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar, to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar, to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his and the glow with light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. I want you to lift your hands up with me. They're coming from the east and the west. They're coming from the lands afar, to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine. We're the ones as partakers of this wonderful divinity of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Peter said that you might receive of this great thing as to the grace that is to be revealed at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Peter said that, he was speaking of the coming of the Lord, of the grace that he's going to give to certain people at the coming of the Lord, which is the revealing of Christ from heaven, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But to you and I, we're not waiting for that moment. Though we look forward to that moment as to a change, yet we're not waiting for that moment. For right now, Christ is being revealed in our hearts. The revelation of Jesus Christ, for the time is at hand, the time is fulfilled. And the coming of the Son of God, revealing himself to you and I. For the Bible says he shall suddenly appear within his temple to be glorified within his saints. The revelation of Jesus Christ to you as an individual, though he'll come back in the heavens, and the Jews shall see him, and a nation shall be born in one day. For as always, he deals with the Jews as a nation. But he's coming to you and I, for he deals with us as an individual. So he comes to you in his own sovereignty, to your own sovereignty, as Christ, the Lord of the house, suddenly appearing within you to destroy, that he might destroy the man of perdition, even Lucifer, the mind of Satan, that sitteth in the temple of God, whose temples ye are, showing himself that he is God. He's appearing. The great brightness of His light will destroy the darkness of that intellectual concept as to a lying vanity that occupies this body. So with the brightness of that light, He destroys the evil one as He comes. He eradicates. And ye that are children of light, you are conceiving of this great wonderful thing as to God's light. For you're children of light and you relate to light. But the wicked, the ones of intellectual darkness, shall not be able to comprehend that light. There is no comprehending of that light in going to college, going to school, to studying the Bible, or to getting the intellectual side of life. There is no comprehending of this great light of revelated understanding. For my words are spirit. They are revelation. They are quickening. They are light. And they are to the heart. And the bond's child is to his own intellect, as to his natural understanding, just to know to come into judgment. But nothing as to the heart, as to the rent veil, as to the separation of the spirit from the body, as to do away with his sins. But he is guilty, knowing and not yet being able to perform. Whereas we know through Christ, and we perform by his own works as to our own behalf, in that we believe in what he has done, and our eyes have come open, as to worship and to glorify him for all things, because he hath saved us and delivered us from sin and from death. So then we are children of light. Children of light, but that day should not come upon us unaware. Therefore we comprehend the eyes, we comprehend the depth, we comprehend the width, we comprehend the length, because we are children of light. And the world is in darkness, and the whole world is in wickedness. So let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For he is now appearing unto you as to the translation of the church as to the inner man, as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, as to them that are overcoming. The Bible said there's a thief in the night. That is, he comes in the darkness of the time of the intellectual reasoning of the night, among the children of night. And he slips into the heart of the children of light and seals their spirit in. And thus the spirit is gone. The body being dead is taken away by Calvary. And the revelation is made known to them. And by faith, their spirit, as an angelic being, went away to be with God. Raptured away, called away, translated out, caught up to the throne immediately to rule with the powers of God as to the rod of iron. And the time is right at hand. The time is at hand. Let him that is just be just still. And let him that is filthy be filthy still. He that loves the flesh, he that loves the things of the world, he that wants the gullible desires of riches and prestige and conveniences and all of these things of life, let him be dirty still. He that is fascinated by the human body and the ego of the human forms, let him be filthy still. But he that is clean, that is fascinated by the spiritual man, of which the natural man is only a type. He that is fascinated by spiritual riches, heavenly treasure and earthen vessels. He that is fascinated by the knowledge of God and not the knowledge of men. Let him be clean still. So while we're standing here tonight, you're standing before us. May God richly endow you with this wonderful knowledge from heaven. May you be partakers of the benefit of our heavenly Savior. God loves you. He wants to do something for you. And He's willing. He's willing. He'll lead you all the way. I'm going to ask Brother Richard Stafford to come up here and dismiss us. As Richard comes to pray with us, let's think on Jesus tonight. Let's think on the wonderful things of God. How good it is to be a Christian. How wonderful it is. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy that reveals unto us life, and that a Savior is born to deliver us from our sins.